So I want to thank Joan for inviting me and Jimmy and all of you for being here. It's really nice to see such a great crowd. So these are some poems that are celebratory. They're poems about some of the things that I really love. Because there is so much distance between us, I ask for a list. Top three favorite things about me. He gives me number one. I love the inner person. You're a sweetheart most of the time. Two, your hair. Three, your reasoning ability. Fair enough. I'll take all three. On our first date, I didn't bother fixing my hair. Why bother in the midst of July to shampoo, condition, blow dry, flat iron, and oil? I've done it one too many times. And tonight, I didn't feel like it. It was a blind date anyways, an experiment, a ploy, a taste this once, see if I like it, excursion into the unknown. He sees me from the curb. I see him. I look again. He looks again. Weeks earlier, when my hair was fresh, flat ironed, flowing down my shoulders, clean and shiny, I saw him board the bus downtown. He fidgeted in his seat, moved over, starting writing his number on a piece of paper, but I got off the bus. Tonight, in the hurried mix of Pittsburgh and hundreds of people entering and exiting through one doorway or another, he's here again. Now, I wish I would have shampooed, conditioned, blow-dried, flat-ironed, and oiled. My hair a tangled mess. He doesn't notice, says, "You're the girl from the bus. I got on that bus again, looking for you." I blushed openly, unable to hide something I often resort to behind any finished hair. We walked Northside Park in disbelief of our luck. The next date, I take the hour to shampoo, condition, blow dry, flat iron, and oil my hair. Let it down. Let him feel it, the silky shine between his fingers. Let him fall in love with that small, safe part of me. When I visit his country, far from home, I wake slowly, the sun already hot and bright, as he sweeps strands of hair from my eyes, welcoming me to morning. Yes, hair can be a pain in the ass, right? But I love it, so. This is called Green. There's a version for every season, and I can't say which I like the best. It doesn't matter, really. The constant evergreen, jolt of fluorescent, fading fall green into yellow, spring pastel softening the stiff contrast of no green all winter. Summer limes and aqua greens, all shades. I don't discriminate against subtleties, tones. Although I imagine the perfect green to be a pine forest pointing north for miles, or the hue of a sea turtle's shell curved by decades of water splashing against it. Keller therapists suggest breathing in green relieves tension, soothes the emotions. Yogis assign it the heart chakra, the one that attunes you to others. Some say we need all colors. I disagree. I only need green. An aversion to green means you are likely to be self-interested, distant. I say you probably hate nature. Fishermen fear its unlucky premonition. Too much of it, and one becomes so immersed in minutiae, they forget the overall picture. This is called Rebel. When my dad was alive, he kept saying, "Watch this movie." I shrugged and went out to climb the Indian mound, do things he'd never know about. When he died, I lay still, decided not to change the channel. How one movie could make so much sense astonished my teenage brain. From the monkey clanking cymbals in the opening scene to Natalie Wood, who just wanted love from her father. The broken knuckles Dean got from punching the desk over and over, just the desk. The compact mirror with white daisies embossed that Jim held onto like it was Judy's slender teenage hand. The switchblade flicked open on the observatory roof, sharp with teenaged angst, because there is no other word for how I'm feeling. Buzz, trying to live up a little to his own reputation, that game of chicken on the cliff, the need of those years to declare a winner. One Winston dangling from the lip of a legend, a red windbreaker that stole the show. Sal Mineo, hurting for a parent, pistols under his pillow and wild fantasies running loose in the head. Mrs. Stark, the mother, who constantly wants to rearrange things, believing not just decorations will change. Mr. Stark can't say no, and Captain Ray perpetually trying to figure it all out, to answer an unknowable why. Plato's mismatched socks, the anxiety of having to choose when nothing feels stable. Jim's clenching surrender at his father's knees, Plato dead on the concrete, the aching need they share but cannot name. Okay, this is called Watching Weather. My dad taught me to love lightning. He'd call me to the front porch, springtime at dusk, just when the daylight fades into smoky blue evening, to see it. The flashes in the sky, fantastic and terrifying at the same time. His face alive, intoxicated by each rumble of thunder and the falling rain. Annoyed as I was to be pulled away from my mystery books, my daydreams of pop singer stardom and teen beat boys, waiting for that whiplash of electricity across the sky excited me. The biting streaks might land, snap a foam pole in half, hit the house, spark wires. Sometimes they did. "Don't worry," he'd say, "you're safe." I can't hear his voice clearly anymore. Only his energy lingers, the knowing a parent gives, his one arm around me, holding me steady. In summers, I learned to let go. He'd buckle the furthest loop on the leather belt of the jackrabbit so we would bounce higher on the double dip. He had one arm around me and one on the ride when I thought he should be holding on with both. Now I ride alone in the back with the last loop latched and hold both arms up for the double dip. I watch the Weather Channel and pray for rain. Research lands with most annual rainfall and dream of visiting places like Mobile, Alabama, or Monrovia, Liberia, just to see what their thunderstorms are like. So I may witness the perfect zigzag spark and hear a ferocious rumble, be close to the shock, where all I feel is the lullaby of a downpour. My dad there, and we're driving from state to state documenting weather. I never lingered on the porch long enough those spring nights. I was too young, too dismissive, the whole world so absolute. Had I known he wouldn't always be there, I would have sat on the porch steps, watching his face as the storm grew heavier. I would have asked him why he loved the rain. I would have grabbed his hand, pulled him into the lawn, made him dance in it. Thank you. And our next reader is Kayla Berkey.